Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
And they do awesome. Every single week is just unbelievable. Every single week. Well, it is good to be here. Yeah. To be back up here and thank you. You might have clapped too early, so let's let's see what happens first, all right? Yeah. Oh, man, it is good to be here with you guys. What a month it's been. You know, I was actually here last week. That you thought that was Eric. It was really actually me and stuff. So I want to say thanks to my brother and for Eddie and for Carrie for filling in for me. And actually the church being here for me has been a humbling and just a really appreciated. All the prayers, and so thank you for all the prayers, the cards, the emails, the texts, the food, everything. You guys have just been a blessing to me and my family, so thank you very much. Psalms 118:24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us just to be here. It's by no accident that you have perfectly designed who you wanted to be here in your house today. You have picked them up. You have gotten them here. You have motivated their hearts. You have filled just with your Holy Spirit, allowing these people to be here today. And so, Lord, as we come before you and we worship you and we lift our hearts up to you today, may our hearts and our minds be open to what your scripture says to us today. Let it not be what my words at all. Let it only be what you want to say through the Holy Spirit and through your word. For it's the truth. For it's the way. For it's our life that we rest on. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us just to be here to praise you. We thank you for that song that you are not in a grave, that you are risen, that you are alive and active in each one of our lives today. And may you always be that to each one of us every single day. For this is your day, and we will rejoice in it. In Christ's name, amen. Well, there's sometimes when you can hold on to that scripture, Psalms 118:24, and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." But I have to be honest, there are sometimes in our days when we don't feel like that was the Lord's day. Sometimes we feel like that might be my day, or maybe that is the devil's day. Have you ever woken up and you ever felt like, okay, I don't think that's what God had in store. I don't think that's what God had planned for me, or oh my goodness, what have I done? Or oh my goodness, what has just happened in my world when I have just woken up? Or by the time you go to bed, you realize, where was God in all of that? You know, was God there the whole time? Was he with me the whole time? Because I didn't feel his presence. I didn't see him. I didn't find him. I just seemed like today was just all just messed up. And so sometimes we look at our world and our day and we are just realizing that I don't know how he could have made that particular day. I don't know if you've ever had a day like that before. But I want you to hold on to the fact that if we hold on to the promise that Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made," then we need to realize that that's the day that the Lord has made. He has made that for you. No matter what goes on in your day. No matter what goes on in your day, that's what the Lord has made for you. Now, how we respond to that, how do we deal with that, what do we do with that in our day is a whole brand new question. And so I have to ask the question, will I rejoice and be glad in it? Because he says this is the day, but will I rejoice and be glad in what is going on in my life, no matter what the circumstance is in my life? And that's a tough question. And so this morning, I want us to look at this new mercy that I saw, this new mercy that I see each day, this new mercy as we wake up each morning. What is it going to look like for you? I want you to leave here encouraged, though. It's always good, huh? In a church service. You always want to leave encouraged. You want to leave hopeful. And I'm going to leave you with that today. But it's your response that's going to get us there. It's your response. It's your faith. It's your action that is going to get us to that point. My hope, though, is each of you will be encouraged that God has you right where He wants you. But the question is this: do you have God where He needs to be in your life? I believe God has got you right where He wants you, but do you have God where He needs to be in your life right now? I was looking through my Bible and I was reading through all these just key life applications, and when you're laying down in bed a lot and you're kind of alone and you're doing some things, one of the things I did was I did a lot of reading, I did a lot of praying, I did a lot of just pondering of where I am in my own life. And I was reading through Proverbs, and Proverbs give so much truth and so many just quick snippets of just precepts and commands and just great just things for us to nuggets of truth just to hold on to. And one that came through my passage, and so many of us are familiar with, it was underlined for me. I love that, because have you ever just kind of like, I want to read my Bible, I don't really know what I want to read though. Have you ever done that where you're just like, I'll just open my Bible and here you go. You know, it's, you know, just kind of a little roulette type of thing. And you're like, okay, God speak to me. Okay. Well, so happened that I was opening my Bible and I was just reading and got to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I looked at it because it was already underlined for me. And I thought, well, that just made it a little bit simpler for me. I didn't highlight it. It was the publisher did a great job. It underlined a key verse in the Bible for me that I've memorized for many, many, many years, that I have shared with people, and I've written cards, and I have given this, and I've said this to many, many people. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. And you guys have said this, and I mean, how many of you guys know that verse already? The whole congregation, right? How many of you know that verse? I'm not sick in the head. I said it twice, okay? Let me say it again. How many of you guys know that verse? I thought I did too. The hands were kind of, what do we do? We raise our hand or not on this one? I do that to my kids all the time at school too, and they're like, okay, I don't know anymore. You're like messing with me now, aren't you, Mr. DeFeo? See, most of us, we say that verse and we quote it 100 miles an hour, and I've quoted that and I've said it so many times, and then I love the fact because it's so comforting, right? It's the one verse that you can say it all the time to people, and you're like, I can get away with that verse. Trust in the Lord with all the heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. And okay, good luck to you. And you feel good about it. It's the John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know, that big old verse, and you're like, I'm going to kind of hold back on this one because, man, you got to make a stand on that one. But to give comfort to somebody using Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's a little lighthearted and you can give it away really easy. And that's maybe why we use it so often, even in the secular world. It gives a little bit of some nice hope. If you are experienced in investing money in the stock market, which I am not, but if you are experienced in the stock market, you would do a few things. One, you wouldn't just go into it haphazardly. You wouldn't go into the stock market just on a whim. It is another thing to study the market trends, the business sections. You would watch the NASDAQ. You would end up speaking to investors like Edward Jones or whoever who's actually studied these investments and knows how they work. You wouldn't just end up giving up your money and just say, oh, I'm just going to throw my money into this stock market and see what happens, even though it's 20 grand and you've been saving up for like 20 years. And you just wouldn't do that haphazardly. You would actually go through whatever it had to be. You would go through it. You would study it. You would make sure, or you would definitely talk to the right person who understands investments, who understands that field, before you ever put your hard-earned money down in some area and hoping that you would get some type of fruitful back, you know, some type of money backwards where you're like, okay, wow, it's actually making money and doing well. And I want you to kind of look at this in the same way with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Taking God on a whim or haphazardly, not truly knowing who you are really working with, well, it's enough to be dangerous when it comes to doing life on your own. You would want to invest into it. You would want to talk to somebody. You would want to make sure that you're not just on a whim, just going to the Lord haphazardly. You would want to make sure that you have spent some time before you made that commitment to realize what type of a commitment are you really actually making. Because there's a lot of people that come to church and they say, yeah, I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell, this, and that. And they don't really understand the type of commitment that they're really expecting when they really want a fruitful return in their investment. The book of Proverbs was not written to persuade readers to process what it says. I want you to hold on to this. The book of Proverbs was not written to persuade readers to process what it says, but to do what it says. To act upon God's command is always right. To do anything else is just plain foolish. We're not just supposed to be persuaded. We're not just supposed to look at this and read it so fast or quote it so fast, but we don't take it in. We haven't truly invested into it. We haven't truly actually sat down with the investor and say, is this what I'm really supposed to do? Is this how I'm supposed to do it? Because it's not easy to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and to do exactly that verse. Verse 5 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want you to hold on to the biblical context of what that word trust means. It means to confide. Think about that. To confide into someone. If you were to trust someone, to confide in someone, that means that you have to be vulnerable enough to tear down your walls, to open up your heart, and to share something of what's going on in your life with that person. And that person has to be willing to be there to sit and listen and be willing to accept and receive what you have to have. Think of your friendship. Think of your spouse. Think of church members. Think of coworkers. To confide. To put your hope and confidence in someone. Trust is an ongoing action of faith on our part. It's ongoing. It never stops. Have you noticed that with your trust with your spouse or friendships with people, that it's always ongoing? It's not like when you were up here and you gave your vows to them and that was the first time that you trusted them. No, before you came up here and did your vows, you are already confiding. You are already placing your faith and your trust in someone. And you are opening your heart. You are allowing control over to somebody. And not to mention just to somebody, but to someone just like you, someone human, someone sinful, someone that makes mistakes, someone that can't always be there for you, someone that's always going to let you down, someone that's going to end up saying, hey, I'm sorry that I did that to you. That's what you're putting your trust into. Think about that. To confide, to put your hope and confidence. I think about me going, and I don't fly a whole lot, but think about the last time you might have taken an airline flight, and while you already booked your flight, you already put your trust in the flight that it's going to be there on time, and you're going to end up making that destination. You put your trust in that already. Before you have even done anything, you've laid your credit card out, you put your trust into it, they set your plane ride all the way up, you're ready to go, and then weeks later, or whenever it is that you book your flight, you show up on time. You give them your ticket, you placed over your bags, you've given your money to whoever to get your bag onto the right plane to get to the right terminal, and then you got 2 to 3 people that's going to sit in a cockpit that's going to drive or fly this massive machine, and you're going to step onto this plane and you're going to sit down. Think about how many things you've already had to do to trust so far. And then all of a sudden it begins to take off. And you're still putting your trust. And then all of a sudden you're flying over the ocean as you look outside and all you see is clouds. Think how much trust you're still putting in. If you notice it's still ongoing, it's ongoing, it's ongoing. Think about when you start feeling the turbulence. And you're rocking, and you're moving. And just for a second, it comes to you, and you're thinking, can they go back over all those things again for me? What do we do in this case, in this situation, and all that? And then they come on in the intercom, and then they're telling you, hey, it's going to be a little rocky right now, but they don't say, everybody duck. They're calm as can be. Hey, we're going through a little bit of turbulence. We're at 20,000 feet. We're going 800 miles an hour. We're all good. And you're like, okay. And you're still ongoing trust, ongoing trust. And you finally get to the part where they say, okay, we'll be landing in 5 minutes. And you're like, oh, thank God. Ongoing trust. And then you're getting closer to that runway and you hit. And you hear the skid marks, and you're hearing it. And then you get, and then it's going like 1 mile an hour to the terminal. And you trust it all the way through. Ongoing faith. Ongoing action. My wife must trust me. My kids have to trust me. My friends have to trust me. But for my wife to trust me, for our marriage to be all that it is, without trust, the relationship is not functional. Have you realized that? It's dysfunctional. Counseling 101 tells you don't have trust, you don't have anything. It cannot work. It's impossible for it to work because no one is going to trust you. You don't know when they're going to come out. They don't know when they're going to do this. You can't count on them. It's no longer sacred. It's like an earthquake split right straight through it. So building trust is the key to every relationship. And building it with the Lord is heavily required by us. Ongoing, never ending. It's the one thing in our life that we must give away control in every area. And it's the one thing that we want control over. It is amazing how much we will give control to everybody else and everything else except for to the Lord Almighty God. The Hebrews thought of the heart as the control seat of our intellect, our mind, our purpose, our future intentions. This is why Solomon starts off this verse in this way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And something that I discovered myself, maybe you can relate to this, church, is that I enjoy being in the control seat and the pilot seat in most of areas of my life. Do you find that to be true in your life? I want to be in the control seat. I want things to go the way I want, when I want it, where I want it, as long as I want it. What about you? I want things to go the way that I want things every single day, when I want it, immediately, where I want it, right then, for as long as I want it. And if things don't go a part of my plans, the way that I want it, when I want it, where I want it, how long I want it, I begin to worry. I begin to freak out. I begin to get depressed at times. I begin to blame someone else. It's always someone else's problem because it didn't work out when I want it, how I want it, all those things. I begin to act out in anger. Which, by the way, can I just tell you, is all natural responses. Sinful, but all natural. Worrisome, bad responses, negatives, none of those do any good whatsoever, but they're all natural. They're all human in nature for us, right? I want you to understand something, though. Humanism does not practice trust. It practices control. Humanism always, always practices control. It never gives over to trust. I was at the eye doctor yesterday, really quick, and I just, Jamie had an appointment for me. She scheduled about a week ago. I walk in. I had a 12:30 appointment. I was there at 12:15. I got there a little early, and I said, "Hi, I'm here for my doctor's appointment, eye doctor appointment," and they said, "Well, we don't really do eye doctor's appointments because this is during lunchtime for our doctors, so everything's usually blocked out." And I said, "Well, no." I said, "My wife called. They said that they were going to fit me in." And she said, "No, we really don't." And the doctor said, "Well, what's your name?" And I said, "My name is Troy." And they said, "We've never have done a doctor's appointment, ever. I mean, it's always blocked. I mean, look at the computer. You see all this white stuff? This means it's all blocked out. This is the time she eats." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, okay, well, I'll just go home then." "Okay." And they said, "Well, you're being so nice about it." And I was like, "Well, I mean, you said that you can't do it. It's okay. I'll just go back home." And they said, "You're not upset with this?" And I was like, "No, I mean, things happen. I understand." And I started to walk out. And then the doctor looked at me and said, "Will you just hold on just for a few minutes, and I'm just going to grab a quick snack, and I'm going to get you in right now." I said, "You don't have to. I understand." And she goes, "No, I'm going to do this." I was like, "Okay, well, thank you." And so I just waited. They said, "Well, why don't you look around for some glasses and stuff?" And I said, "Okay." I was like, "What the heck just happened?" Because that is not me. I don't know if you're like, but that is not me. Normally, I'm like, "What the heck is going on around here?" We called 1 week in advance. I don't know. It's probably my anxiety pills that I take every day now. Or maybe I was just a blubbering thing. Maybe they saw tears in my eyes and like, "Poor guy," you know. I don't know what it is, but I just, for some reason, that is not, the natural response is not that for me. I'm just telling you. But for some reason, that just what came out of my mouth. And I'm not telling you this because I'm this awesome. Because 9 times out of 10, I would have done the other stuff. I'm just telling you that. I just want to look cool for a second right now, okay? But it worked. It was like, oh my goodness. I mean, God worked all that out somehow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And He has a way. See, humanism does not practice trust. It practices control. It's not natural for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. But see, the Lord is not like us. He is always reliable. He is always trustworthy. He's always there. He's always caring. He's always listening. He's always working. And on my best day, I cannot be that all the time for people. I can't be that for my wife all the time, for my kids all the time, for my church family all the time. I can't be that, but God can. That's why he says trust in him and don't trust in anyone else like that, because they're going to let you down. But God puts people in your life for you to be able to experience Christ more. He says, I'm gonna put people in your life to show you that I am there. I'm going to put people in your life to remind you that I am there. See, sometimes we have to have people, because see, God, he works all different ways, but the way that I realize is that God uses people to show up so you can see Christ. And I've been seeing that more and more this past month. God has been using people and people's lives to work in my life, where I realize that God is showing up. He's not leaving me. He never has forsaken me. He's using people because he's in the business of using people. When we're trusting him, when we are home and we say, God, I want to be used today. And all of a sudden you have some type of deal, and before you know it, you're bringing over some soup to someone's house. Or you're showing up and doing something when it's least expected, or dropping off something, or doing something that just changes people's life. See, God can be there all the time. He's always reliable. He's always trustworthy. That's why my Bible, I think, was underlined, in case I forget it. That's why my friends will share this verse from memory, in case I lose sight of it. And I start to worry because I'm sick or poor or lonely or having problems in this and this and this. That's why my God will convict me when I'm facing troubled times, when I'm going through the turbulence of life and I don't know where else to go. And I'm trusting in two people or one person that's driving, flying me, and taking me to destinations that I have no idea where I'm going. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I have a decision to make. Will I rejoice and be glad in it, or will I not? Because if he made the day, will I rejoice no matter what? And it's hard, I know. Especially when things are not going the way that we want, when we want it, where we want it, and how we want it, right? So often, and I want you to hold on to this, and this is what came to me. So often we give full custody of our trust to the wrong things, where we grant God only visitation rights to where we see fit. Why do I give full custody of everything else in my life to all the other things in my life, but I'm only giving God visitation rights when I want them? Verse 5 says, and lean not on your own understanding. That's easy for me because I don't understand much. Seriously, I really don't. It takes me a while to get things. This is the antithesis. This is the contrast. This is the negative response to the previous command to trust God. How many times have you and I become orphans in our faith with God and decided to go our own way, to lean on ourselves for all the answers or our ways out? It becomes my will be done. It becomes my plans to prosper me. It becomes my way or the highway. It's my life. I got it from here, God. Obviously, you haven't worked things out, that my time, my way, my where it is, all those different things. So I got it from here, God. You haven't done it when I wanted you to do it, because obviously you have left me. You didn't put the right people in time because they didn't show up for me. Where was my church? Where was my family? Where was my friends? Where was this situation? Why didn't you bail me out of that bill? Why didn't you help me out in those job and my finances and with all these different things and with my health? Where were you, God, in these circumstances of my life? And I'm trying to give over to you. I'm trying to trust in you. How long am I supposed to do it, though, Lord? And so we become orphans. We put God over here. He said, it's my will now will be done. I got it from here. It's my plans will prosper. It's my way now. It's my life. But God says, Troy, church, in this command, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge me, acknowledge him, and all the things that come up in your life. Am I acknowledging God? Am I acknowledging God? Do I even have a relationship with the creator of the universe? The one that holds the stars in one hand and holds my life in the other hand. Is he way too big for you? I'll be honest with you. I don't want to serve a God that's not big enough. I want the creator of the universe has me in one hand and has the stars in the other. I want to be under that type of God. I don't want a small little God, and I don't want a God that never died for me. I don't want a God that never gave to me. I don't want a God that I have to go and bow down before that some type of false idol that never has resurrected from the dead. Amen. I will put my trust in that type of God. I will acknowledge Him in my life. Will I acknowledge Him in every area of my life, in my sickness, in my finances, with my children, with my jobs, in my future? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think about two things right now that has been worrying you the very, very most. What has been underlined in your heart right now for the past however many weeks, maybe it's right now, what are the two things that's worrying you or giving some anxiety to you right now? What's underlined for you right now that you are having trouble with giving over to the Lord? I believe it's underlined for two reasons. One, either because you have not given it over to God, or two, maybe you have given it over to God and you're saying it's underlined and I have given this for you, God. So you fall under one of those two umbrellas, just like I do. Lord, I'm going to give you these. But I don't know if I can give over to these. I know you got A, B, and F, and G. It's just C, D, and E, and L, M, N, and O, P, and Q, R, S, T, U, V. I've got it from here. Because I don't know how to give this over to you. What is it for you? Acknowledge God as the only one to handle all your ways. He says, trust Him, lean on Him, acknowledge Him. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and your body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You memorize those? There's about five verses right there that says, give it all to Him. Verse 6. And He will direct your paths. For God to direct our paths, guess what? He must know the way, right? For God to direct our paths, if I'm supposed to follow in that command, then He has an obligation, doesn't He? Yeah. He has an obligation that He must know the way where we're going then. For if God is going to lead me, then He must know the truth then, right? So He must know the way. He must know the truth because He cannot lie. He cannot be deceived. For if God is going to direct my path, then He also must know my life then, right? So He must end up knowing the way. He must know the truth and He must know the life. And it's just interesting that Jesus says, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's worthy of an amen. I want everybody to hear this part. He says to us, this is Troy's part in the Bible. He says, I got this. Will you say that? He's got this. Let's say it again like you mean it. He's got this. So when you are worrying about something, would you do me a favor when you're quoting Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6? At the end of it, I want you to say, and He's got this, amen, so be it. Because that's what amen means, so be it. He's got this. No matter what it is, no matter what the situation is in your life that you're having trouble to give over, he says, I've got this. God will know our temptation, our roadblocks, our hurdles, our bumps in our road. For in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God says, when you trust in my promises, my precepts, my commands, my word, and my son Jesus Christ, I will be a lamp for your feet and a light unto your path. And you know what that is? That light? The light that brings comfort in the dark times, and the light that brings sight when you can no longer see. He says, I will be a lamp for your feet and a light unto your path. That sounds like God knows what he's doing. It sounds like he knows the way. And it sounds like he just lit up everything for you. Faith now will become sight. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Hebrews 11:1. Worry has been robbing people's joy since Adam and Eve took the first bite off the tree. It's the most efficient thief in our day. Worry has been robbing people from the beginning of time, and it is the most efficient thief in our day. Our deterrence for the robber of our joy is his command, is this scripture right here. I'm coming to an end, guys. Worry, the literal meaning derived from being pulled in opposite direction. That's what that means. And remember, the command says, God will lead the right direction and path. Does that sound like God is worried? He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he said, what? Take heart, I've already overcome it. I got it. God says, I got this. So you trust in that. I got this. Philippians 4:6-9 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every single situation. Oh, not just the A, B, C part, but the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, X, Y, Z. Every area of your life, give it over to me. When you are anxious about every single situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That means come to me. Tell me what you're dealing with. I already know what it is, but talk to me about it. Be open about it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart about it. Confide in me, he says. Tell me about it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the ones that I don't understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when we begin to worry, do something for the Lord and for yourself about these things. Here's the life application. This is how you do it. If we're wondering how do we do that, how do we really truly trust in the Lord with all of our heart, how we really lean on him with all of our understanding, when we're trying to really truly acknowledge him, how do we do it, God? How am I supposed to get there? It continues in verse 8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, watch this. Don't be thinking about all the things you're worried about. He says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or funny, whatever is funny, that's not in there, but I added that. You may add that to your deal. Whatever is funny, we don't laugh enough. And laughter is really one of the greatest healing situations when you are going through a bunch of turmoil in your life. You have to laugh at some of the things that you say, that's funny now, God. You got really seriously a funny sense of humor, okay, for that to happen, because that should have never happened. I laughed yesterday when they started doing that. This is funny, though. Watch this.
I love going down south to eat, man. Down south, they have some good restaurants like this Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Oh, down south, man, they're like, oh, we're going to take you to the barrel, Timbo. We're going to treat you right at the barrel. Y'all have Cracker Barrel here. It's not that great, is it? No, it's not. It's like you're eating at a garage sale, for crying out loud. There's stuff hanging all over the walls. Rusty farm equipment over your head. Hey, can we get a table not directly under the horse castrator? That's a thin thread right there. I need some more golf tees for this triangular game. I'm trying. All six left, I'm an ignoramus! The Cracker Barrel. They got they don't have omelets at the Cracker Barrel. It's supposed to be this breakfast place. I'm like, y'all ain't got no omelet? No, we ain't got no omelet. That was my waitress. We ain't got no omelet. She wasn't even chewing gum. I don't know what. Hi. Like, you ain't got omelets now. What you see is what you get. Y'all got some eggs? Yeah, we got eggs. You got some peppers and sausage and mushrooms? Yeah. You think you can think outside the box for a little bit, Eric? Sure we can work something out here, kitty. Draw you a schematic if I have to. All right. I love Southern waitresses at the Cracker Barrel, man. It's like I'm just trying to order food. I don't know what she's talking about. You know, I'm like, how are the biscuits and gravy? Oh, they make you want to slap your mama. Then I don't think I'm going to get the biscuits and gravy. Being my mama's here and all, that would be kind of awkward. How are the pancakes? Oh, they make you want to hit your daddy with a baseball bat. Do you have a less violent menu I could take a look at? I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want some food. That's what she said verbatim. Oh, they make you want to slap your mama. Are the biscuits that good? You're like, Mama, you might want to go out in the car for a while. Yeah, a couple more bites, I'm going to have to throw down. You know what I'm talking about? These are delicious. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, or whatever is funny. I believe things can be a new gift even when we don't realize it. What is your new gift that sometimes God can put in your life that will get you through your day? He finishes off that verse in verse 9. It says, think about such things. Think about them. Let's change all the things that we're worried about to some of the blessings that he gives you each day. Why? Because your new mercies is every morning. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice in the things that he's glad about. See, we worry about so many different things and things that are really actually out of our control. But let's start giving the blessings to him and start saying thank you for the things that you have given me. And those things will begin to start lighten the load a little bit. Because whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you have heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Put into practice. Remember what I said, it's ongoing faith. And this is the best part. And the God of peace be with you. We must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We must lean on him from all of our understandings. We must acknowledge his ways are better than our ways. And we must realize that Jesus will direct our path perfectly each and every day. Can I ask you, church, have you put your trust in the Lord today? And are there things that you want to hand over to him right now? This is the day that the Lord has made. Watch this. And he will rejoice and be glad in it when you do. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to hear from your scriptures, from your precepts, your commands. Oh Lord, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that is struggling with worry, maybe it's illness or maybe it's finances. Maybe it's job related, maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's just personal things that it just needs to be handed over to you. We're good at the some things, and then the other things we want to hold tightly. We want to be in control over. But that's not what you said. You said to trust you with all of our heart, with everything. It's the control seat that controls everything in our life. And I pray that, Father God, that today would be the day that we don't just memorize this verse, that we just don't just share it quickly, but when we do give this verse, we take our time and we truly explain what this verse really means. I pray that this would be a verse that we will accept in our hearts, that we will memorize, that we will underline in our Bibles, and we'll realize that, God, when we do give things over to you, the peace will be with us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.